Stand a moment to pray. Father, we thank Thee for gathering us here today in Your house to worship Thee, just to love, to delight ourselves in our gracious Lord and Savior. How thankful we are today that we are in the knowledge of the living God and Your own Son. And our prayer again is that we may know Him better, that we may know Thee more with our hearts as well as our heads, and that You will lead us even into truth today that will put a new fire within our souls, and that we will know sweet fellowship with Thee through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, we believe in the preaching of Thy Word, in season, out of season, that we might set forth the truths, the verities, the delights of our Savior. And so, minister to us. Turn hearts to Yourself today through Your Word, and bless us each one, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Our text today is Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Hebrews 2 verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? On Tuesday, Mr. Fitton and I were here at church. We were doing some copies of the leaflets that were giving out and hope to give out in the weeks to come. I didn't get into those in the announcements this morning. I should have. I'll maybe do that this evening. I'll try and speak a little more on that. But we were involved in here in the church and copying these leaflets and so on. And I got a call from the fire inspector. Now, that's the call that we need to be prepared for. Quite often, he doesn't call at all. He'll just drop in. If he will see a car in the parking lot, he'll just knock the door, and then he'll come, and he'll want to do his fire inspection right on the spot. Well, this time we got half a day's notice, which was very nice of him, and it allowed us just to make sure that things were all in order for his coming to inspect. Well, got here, the appointment was 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning, got here just a few minutes early, and as I was opening the front door, I heard the fire alarm panel beeping. And I say, oh boy, we better get this knocked off before the fire inspector comes in. So I went into the panel and hit all those buttons, acknowledge, reset, and all of that. And it seemed that every time it went off, but every time I tried to close the door on the panel, it started up again. And so there I was, working at this, beeping away, and the fire inspector came right in the front door behind me. Talk about an embarrassing moment. Well, that took a little bit of explanation. But I must say he was very pleasant and didn't jump on the issue right away and was willing to do all of his inspection. So got the beep stopped for a little bit, and I hope that was the end of it. But while he was still here writing up his notes, it started up again. And so that had to be noted. And we needed a backup battery immediately because the preschool's on downstairs, and that needs to be attended to. And of course, we need buildings that are safe from fires. We live in a country where there are so many fires, many of them huge fires that take life. And of course, the worst thing is for a fire to break out when people are asleep. And almost every week we have the news of people who are put out of their homes due to fire, some who are at risk, some who are injured, some even who die, even little children. What terrible tragedy comes from fires. And every prevention is a good thing that keeps people safe from these things. Now, I have had in my mind this text of Scripture. How shall we escape? I've had this text in my mind for a number of weeks to preach, and here I get to it today. and I become the fire inspector, the one who wants to warn, prepare, and to lead you to know that you're safe from the great fire, because there is wrath against man's sin, because there is a tormentous hell where the fire rages, where there is eternal destruction. And we need to be that word of warning. And we come to this word salvation today. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, sadly, the word salvation is so used, so commonly spoken of, that it is reduced. And it's no longer the sound of an alarm. It's like the difference between driving down a road, meeting a little small car, and going down the same road and meeting a fire truck with the alarm going off and the flashers flashing as you pull over and let that fire truck go by. When you see this word salvation, it should ring an alarm in your heart. Salvation from what? Saved from what? And of course, it is the destruction of our own souls. And it's a reality. Men and women are perishing. Souls die without a Savior, and they go out into eternity, into everlasting torment. And so, like the fire inspector, the preacher is called to use this word salvation and sound the alarm to awaken men and women who may be asleep to their danger and have them to prepare for eternal life. And so we look at this word salvation. Now, let me point out three things that will become our three major points here today. Firstly, salvation is God's escape plan. It says here in this verse, how shall we escape? Secondly, salvation is God's immeasurable escape plan, because it talks about so great salvation. And when you can't count something, when you don't know the depth or the height of it, it is so to be described as immeasurable. And then, salvation is man's responsibility if we neglect. So I want you to keep your eyes on this verse in the Bible, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. And I want us to think of this word salvation as the warning of our souls in danger. Salvation is God's escape plan. And of course, you need to realize that the whole language of the Bible is to warn men of their need to flee, to escape, to hide, and to be saved. That, of course, was the message to Noah. Noah was warned of the flood to come. He comes up here in Hebrews 11 as one of those men of faith. A man who believed God. He didn't believe the common opinion of the age in which he lived. If Noah had been a populist looking for the common denominator and the thinking of his day, he would never have built an ark. But he believed God. And we're told in Hebrews 11 verse 7 that he was moved by fear, because God had an escape plan for him. God told him to build an ark. And it was in that ark that he and his family were saved from the flood. And that ark became their salvation. And so the ark was God's escape plan. That's what salvation is to us. It is God's great escape plan from the wrath that is going to fall upon a sinful, wicked world and upon the souls of men who go out into eternity without a Savior. God had also the same message to Lot. when those angels were sent by God, they first met with Abraham and shared with him what God was going to do, to bring fire and brimstone down upon the wicked, evil society of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then those angels went right into the city and they knocked at Lot's door and warned him to get out. And when he hesitated, Bible says while he lingered, those angels laid hold upon him and dragged him out of the city. And so it was God's escape plan to bring Lot, that righteous man, because he was a righteous man, he was a good man, but he was living in a city of sin, a city of evil, a city of iniquity, and it was under judgment. And the message to Lot was, get out. And that's what the gospel is to men and women today. Do not trust in this world. Do not trust in the flesh. Do not trust in this pleasure, sin-crazed world. But rather, you need salvation. Then John the Baptist, just going through a number of examples here of the message that God brought to a needy world, a lost world. John the Baptist is the one who preached warning people from the wrath to come. The wrath to come. Many deny that. Many oppose that. Many can't even consider that. This world is under judgment. And wrath is coming. And because of that, God sent his Son, the Savior. John the Baptist was the preparer of the way. He was to make the way for the coming of the Savior, that men would flee from the wrath to come. And then at Pentecost, you had Peter's preaching. And when people listened to Peter preaching, and he told them to save yourselves from this untoward generation. That means they were depraved, they were rebellious, they were against God. These were the very people who had the blood of Jesus on their hands. They had cried out in an earlier day, crucify him, crucify him. And they were asking, what will we do? Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And praise God, there is an escape. There is a way to be saved. There is a way out. Paul the Apostle preached in the same manner. And when you get to the book of Revelation, we read of those when Christ returns, they will pray for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them to hide their faces from the wrath of the Lamb. That is the judgment. That is the destruction that is coming upon the world that you need to be saved from. And salvation is God's escape plan. Now, we get into this right here in this text. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Do you see the need for evangelism in this world? Why preach this gospel? Because men are lost. Because wrath is coming. Why should the church be on prayer? Why should we care? Because God has an escape plan to save sinners. Now that brings us to the immeasurable escape plan. It is so great salvation. And I say immeasurable because of this word so. You can't calculate it. You can't really say put it in a box and say that's the dimensions of it. No, this is so immeasurable. So great salvation is immeasurable because of its author and finisher, because of the one who designed it and the one who carried it out. This, of course, is our Lord Jesus. He is the one who has carried out this so great salvation. Now we come to the argument of Hebrews here. You'll see that the reasoning of the apostle in this text, how shall we escape if we neglect? If you go back to verse 5 in chapter 1, you'll see, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? Now what the writer is doing is building a case for the greatness of Christ. He is above the angels. He is greater than the angels, and the word that the angels preached was fulfilled. But Christ is greater, and because he is greater, his word and his salvation is immeasurable. So high, so holy, and yet the one who made himself of no reputation came down from glory all the way to this world, became human, took our form, our nature, went to the cross, and there he died in our place. So great salvation in the author and finisher. And it's so great because it saves from great wrath. God's wrath is a terrible thing, an horrendous thing. You can see that in the judgment that came upon the world in Noah's day, Lot's day. We can see that in the warnings that are given of the eternal day when Christ comes again. God hates sin so much. Indeed, God is filled with fury against sin. We're told in the Bible that he is a consuming fire. And for a soul who is not reconciled to God through Christ, to fall into the hands of an angry God is horrendous. And this is so great salvation because it brings peace, grace, eternal life, fellowship with God, and every blessing into your heart and soul. And if we're ever going to measure this salvation, we have to see it in the light of the pit from which it delivers us. So it is great salvation because of the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. And we've got to realize that no man, no mere man, could have made a sufficient sacrifice on the cross. If you read through this book of Hebrews, and when you get to chapters 7, 8, 9, you will see that so much is made of the point that all the blood of bulls, all the blood of calves, all the blood of sheep, the sacrifices that were slaughtered in such a multitude of numbers in the Old Testament, could never take away sin. The blood of an animal is powerless to take away sin. They were used to teach God's people to get their eyes on the Messiah or Christ. They were just a picture of the great sacrifice that would be made by the Lord Jesus. And that's the great theme of this chapter of Hebrews. And I'm seriously thinking of preaching much of this right up to Easter time. These great themes of the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice that he made on that cross, and wherein lies the power of it? Because he was not just flesh. He was not just man. He was God in the flesh. God and man in one person laying down his life. Now this is so great salvation because it saves men and women from great sins. You think of the most blood-curdling, scarlet sins imaginable, and the blood of Jesus cleanses from every one of them. We have in the Bible many, many examples of people who were saved from terrible sins. Samson comes up. Samson's a strange character in the Bible. He is a man, he's listed in the Hall of Faith. He's a man who was God's deliverer, and yet he fell into terrible sin. You know the story of Samson and Delilah. You know how his hair got cut and he lost his power. Well, Samson's sins were pardoned by the sacrifice of Christ. He is a man of faith. There's the sins of theft. Zacchaeus would be a great example of that. The man who said that if I have stolen anyone's goods, I will restore them fourfold. He was a tax collector. He was corrupt. He was guilty of thievery. And yet his sins washed away. The dying thief on the cross, what terrible crimes he had committed. What horrendous crimes. Then as Paul the apostle himself, blasphemy, the sins of blasphemy. Who can forgive those? And yet the blood of Jesus, the cleansing power of Jesus' blood, takes away those sins too. And so we can see the greatness of this so great salvation. I wonder today, are you a Christian? I wonder, have you come to the place where you have led your life, your eternal destiny, at the feet of the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, I need your salvation so great. My sins trouble me. My sins will damn me in hell. Lord Jesus, I need this great salvation in my heart and in my life. And no matter what your sins are, and yes, every one of us are guilty, and every sin is heinous in God's sight, whether it's idolatry, false worship, witchcraft, seeking other spirits, or as I mentioned, blasphemy. All of these sins can be forgiven. Every one of them can be put away underneath the blood of Jesus. I wonder today, can you truly say, I have come to the cross. I have looked to the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I have recognized that he died as a substitute in my place. And I have asked him to wash away my sins. This is so great salvation. And when you can say that with all your heart, then you can rejoice and delight in the grace of God. Now we come now to man's responsibility here, and that is to plan the escape. Because it says here, if we neglect so great salvation, how shall we escape? Now, there are many people who fall into the category of being neglectors. I suppose all around our homes, there are things that are just neglected. And you're saying, oh, I'm going to get to that one day. And I'm going to do that one day. Maybe your wife is saying to you and keeps reminding you, and you say, yes, dear, I know it needs to be done, and I'm going to get to that someday, but I have time and an opportunity, and there it is, still neglected, undone, unfinished. And it is the story of life. Things get neglected. And I'm sure that fire inspector who came in on Wednesday morning could have written up a nasty enough note and saying, this has been neglected and must be fixed. I must say he was very gracious in what he wrote and gave us an opportunity to prove the purchase of the battery and to make sure that it was all looked after. But that's the work of a fire inspector, to make sure that these things are not neglected. And I'm taking the place of the fire inspector today. I'm asking you, have you neglected this so great salvation? You don't have to be a Judas. You don't have to be a Philistine. You don't have to be a Roman centurion with a spear in your hand to lose your soul. All you have to do is just neglect. Just do nothing and you lose your soul. How shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? And there are multitudes today on the broad road to destruction because they do nothing. They don't go to church. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They don't think about eternity. They have never considered Christ dying on the cross as the Savior of sinners to write their name in the eternal book of life. And these are the things that people neglect. Now I have to ask you today, have you neglected the salvation of your soul? I'll flip the coin a little. It would even be possible to be a Bible reader and still neglect salvation. it would be possible to be a church goer and sing and take part in the service, but not be saved, not be a Christian. Neglect the greatest and most important thing, the salvation of your soul. Now let me ask you, how old are you? How many years now have you known that sin is a problem, that life is short, eternity is coming? How many years have you known that you need to be saved, but you've neglected it? You've left it off, and you today will not escape unless, that's what the Bible tells us here, unless you turn immediately and trust the Lord as your own Savior. Now, I'm going to conclude with the argument of the passage. The text that we have taken here today does have a context. And it's talking here about angels versus the Son. And you'll notice, if you read with me, write down verses 1, 2, and 3. And I want to get everything in context of what the Bible is saying. I don't want you going home and saying that preacher was just ranting. I don't want you going home and saying, where did he get that? How did those ideas come to his mind? Let's make sure what we're saying here is right out of the Bible. Let's read the context. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Now that word by angels could refer to the Old Testament scriptures, or certainly the writings of Moses, which in the Mount Sinai, angels were involved. And if that word that was given in the Old Testament, given by angels, was steadfast, they came true, they were real, how much more will the word of the Son? And you'll notice chapter 1:1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in the past unto the fathers by the prophets, in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, the Lord Jesus. The word of angels came true. The word of angels was steadfast. The word of the Son, Christ. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And the argument is, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now, have you given earnest heed? Have you taken these things to heart? Have you gotten on your knees and prayed as a sinner and said, Lord, save my soul. I need this escape plan, or I'm headed for judgment. And when you take that salvation, oh, so great. What a miracle. What a marvel. What victory. What blessing. What joy. What peace. What deliverance. And we can face life, and we can face death, and we can face eternity, because we have this great, so great salvation. And I'm sure when we stand on the other side in glory, and when we see the wonder of it all, we will sing all the more, so great salvation. Let that be your song today. I don't want you leaving today with a burden of sin. I don't want to see you leaving without hope, but with the reality of this so great salvation within your own heart and within your own soul. Will you be saved today? If I can help you, I'll gladly take the time while others talk or go. I'll gladly take the time to speak with you about your salvation, so great salvation, and the only way to escape through faith in the Lord Jesus.